Hey, it's Callie, and you're listening to a bonus episode of the Hippie Haven podcast. Back in February, I posted a transformation picture on my personal Instagram at A Hippie in a Van, talking about where I was 3 years ago in 2016 versus where I am now, both in life in general and with my mindset specifically. In the comments for that picture, I got several people requesting that I do a podcast episode going more in depth about my background and how I've gotten to where I am today. I kind of brushed it off for a while. I've been completely swamped at Bestowed Essentials, my new zero waste store in South Dakota. But then I strangely woke up one morning in March and felt called to do this. So I started drafting my flowchart of what I wanted to cover, but I've held off on actually recording and publishing my story until now in May, mainly because we were in the running for a small business grant, which we did not end up winning, unfortunately. And I knew that they were combing through all of my social media as part of the judging process. And this episode is going to get pretty raw, and so I didn't want them to hear those parts. But also just because I'm kind of nervous about putting myself out there. I'm very active on Instagram, but what I show is very curated, honestly. There are parts of my life that I don't ever and won't ever share publicly because that's my choice to make. But I'm also realizing how important it is to inspire people to follow their dreams, and maybe I can do that in part by sharing how I've managed to accomplish some of mine so far, despite the odds. I get comments, DMs, emails from people almost every day telling me that they find me inspiring. And while that's incredibly flattering, it also makes me feel uncomfortable. I think in general, women are just socially conditioned to turn down compliments or anything of the sort, you know, be humble, be modest. But it also makes me uncomfortable because I see myself as an extremely boring person. And as I reflected and prepared my notes for this episode, I started to really dive deep for the first time ever as to why I've put the label boring on myself. And I realized that that actually goes back to several previous relationships of mine where the guy I was seeing at the time thought that I was oh so intriguing and interesting in the beginning because of all the things I've done, that I am doing, that I will do. But And then after a couple weeks or months, they inevitably get tired of me and usually called me boring because all I ever want to do is work. I never want to go to the movies or a concert or go out clubbing. I've never even been to a club in my entire life. My work consumes just about every moment of my waking hours. I'm a workaholic. If I'm not actively working, I'm mentally planning or daydreaming or researching or whatever. I've always been that way. I naturally have a very obsessive personality, and for many years I was sorely lacking purpose. So I was just kind of like floating all over the place, but I do vividly remember like the exact day and moment in 2017 that I learned about the Great Pacific Ocean Garbage Patch and instinctively knew that my true calling in life was in environmentalism. And from there, it's just been about learning as much as possible and trying to figure out how I, as one person, as one tiny speck in this universe, can make the biggest impact possible before I die. And it took me too many years and too many shitty relationships to realize that what I care about or who I am as a person, it isn't boring. It's just that the people I've surrounded myself with in the past weren't on the same wavelength as me. So my first piece of advice is to surround yourself with people who have similar values and passions as you. That's not to say that everyone in your life should be exactly like you, not at all. You need to hear differing beliefs and new opinions to continue your own self-growth. But if you feel like you're the black sheep, which I definitely did for a long time, believe me, you're not. You just haven't found your people yet, but they are out there. So to get into my background and how I've gotten to where I am today, I'd have to go back to my childhood, which was not a happy chapter in my life. I was born in Humboldt County, California, which is an absolutely stunning area. And if you ever are able to go see the Redwoods in person, they are definitely, definitely a thing to put on your bucket list. My parents had me too young. They divorced when I was really little, and both parents repartnered very quickly. Unfortunately, despite growing up with a total of 3 father figures and 2 maternal figures, I did not luck out in the paternal department with a single one of them. Just before my 10th birthday, my stepdad at the time moved us to Salem, Oregon, which is where he was originally from. And at that age, that was a really difficult move to make. I've always been very, very, very introverted. So it was hard for me to go to a new school and make new friends. But luckily, I did end up meeting an amazing group of girls in middle school who really got me through some difficult times over those teenage years. And luckily, I'm still friends with most of them to this day. I'm actually heading back to Oregon in like a week to attend one's wedding, which I still can't believe that we're all old enough to be getting married and having babies, even though one of my best friends has a daughter who's already in kindergarten. Like, oh my God. But anyway, my mother and her second husband divorced when I was 13, which was both good because he was abusive and bad because he kept order and discipline in the home, which I personally need to be my best self. My mother is physically disabled. She doesn't work, and I don't believe that she lives in the same reality as the rest of the world. So those years with her as a single mom got pretty rough. We were living in a trailer park for a while, living off government assistance and child support, buying groceries with food stamps. I dropped out of high school twice. I hung out with a crappy crowd, and I was just doing the bare minimum to survive for a while. I definitely was not thriving whatsoever. At the end of my junior year of high school, my school guidance counselor told me that because I had skipped and failed so many classes, I wasn't going to be able to graduate with the rest of my class. And that really got my ass in gear. I was about to turn 17, and I had known since I was like 8 that the day I turned 18 and was finally a legal adult, I was going to move out and finally be free of all the shit at home. So I realized that I had 1 year to figure my life out. I took online classes that summer and a full course load my senior year, and was just barely able to graduate on time 1 month before my 18th birthday. My senior year was definitely one of the big pivotal points in my life. I met 2 different teachers who really saw the potential in me and pushed me to accomplish even more. I was the student director of the school's morning news program, and I led the school's anti-bullying program as well, both of which helped me gain so much confidence in myself as a leader with public speaking, and I really started to mature into the woman that I am today, all thanks to those 2 teachers who gave me those big responsibilities, knowing that I would grow to fill the role. So shout out to them and to all the teachers who are truly passionate about their work and who go above and beyond to help the kids who need it the most. Teachers like that truly do change the world. Most of my senior year, I had been crashing on different friends' couches. And as soon as I graduated high school, even though I wasn't quite yet 18, I moved in with my high school boyfriend at his parents' house. I returned to my mother's house the night of my 18th birthday to collect the last few belongings that she let me take. Unfortunately, I have very few photographs or really much of anything from my childhood, but that was a price well worth paying to close that chapter. I started my adult life with exactly $220 to my name. That was all that was remaining of what my great-grandmother had left me after my mother stole the rest. And since I had no bank account and no one to co-sign for me, I couldn't even open a credit card or get any sort of loan. So I found babysitting jobs on Craigslist for a couple months until I was finally able to get my first 2 jobs. I started both in the same week. I was telemarketing for Farmers Insurance, and I fucking hated that job. And I was working at the print center at Office Max. And then I was able to get my own studio apartment once I had enough cash on hand to bribe the landlord into overlooking my lack of credit or rental history. my apartment was in this area of town known as Felony Flats, and I definitely did not go outside at night, but it was my home and I loved it. I bought the bare necessities either secondhand or at the dollar store. I didn't have a couch for months because I couldn't afford one, and I was working so much that I would have never had time to sit on it anyway. It took 7 months of working full-time at minimum wage, which back then I think it was either $8.10 or $8.40 an hour. I can't remember. But it took 7 months before I could afford my first car. It was a 1992 Dodge Shadow that I paid $700 in cash for. And that car was unsurprisingly a complete piece of shit. But at least it meant that I didn't have to take 2 city buses to work anymore, at least when my car would actually start. I tried going to community college for 2 semesters, but I've never done well in traditional classroom settings, and it was also just too expensive. I couldn't apply for financial aid without having my parents' financial information, and since I had cut all contact with them, college just wasn't in the cards for me. But the highlight of that time period was while I was working at Office Max, I met Christopher, one of the 2 great loves of my life thus far. We fell head over heels in love with each other instantly. It was like magic. We moved in together within 2 weeks of our first date, and we spent about 2 years together on and off. But we were 2 broken kids who had no idea what a healthy relationship looked like. And ultimately, we realized that despite how much we love each other, we're just not compatible and we never would be. So we remain dear friends to this day, though, and his presence in my life has truly been one of my greatest blessings. In those 2 years after high school, while working at Office Max the whole time, I also managed a sandwich shop. I briefly, very, very briefly, because I hated those jobs, I briefly worked as a cashier at Walgreens and at Burger King, and I worked for a few months at a Wells Fargo call center as well. And then I ended up leaving Office Max for Staples. Staples stole me away to work at their print department by offering me a whole $2 more an hour. I was making 10 something an hour. So thrilling. So if your printer ever jams, I can totally fix it. But I always wanted more, though. I wanted to do something with my life that would actually make a difference, that would make the world a better place. I just didn't know what or how. In school, I had taken 6 years of Spanish, 4 years of German, and 2 years of French. I've always been very intrigued by languages. And then through Google, I discovered that the military would pay for people to learn a language and then work all over the world as a translator for them, which sounded amazing. I knew next to nothing about the military. I knew nothing of current events. I didn't follow politics. I really just lived in a bubble of trying to keep a roof over my head at that point. But I did know enough about the military to know that, like, the Army was kind of the basic branch. The Air Force, they were the spoiled ones. The Marines were the super tough ones. And the Navy seemed like the cool guys with their, you know, sexy Cracker Jack uniforms. So when this hot Navy recruiter walked into Office Max to buy office supplies and started chatting to me about how great the Navy was, it seemed like the right step for me to take. And so I did. I signed up to be a cryptologic technician interpretive, which is a really extra way of saying translator. In November of 2013, I got on an airplane for the first time in my life, which was really fun, and went to boot camp at Great Lakes, Illinois. Then I was sent to the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California for 1.5 years to learn Arabic because that's what the U.S. government needed from me. I wasn't particularly fond of the language. It was really hard to learn, especially just like having to learn an entirely new alphabet and style of writing, and they read and write in the opposite direction than English. And I knew next to nothing about the culture, religion, geography, or history of the various Arabic-speaking countries, but we were taught by native Arabs, and I even got to go study in Morocco for a little while, which was an interesting experience. And in the Navy, I had discipline in my life again. So for the first couple years, I thrived. I won an award for being the top volunteer at my command. I was put into a leadership position over my fellow shipmates, which was my first introduction to how little women in the military are respected. But things were good for a while. I enjoyed being back in California too. I felt so much at home there. After I graduated, I got a desk job in Georgia, which was an incredibly dull and disappointing assignment. The southern culture, the military culture, the heat, my job, a large collection of things just made life pretty shitty for a while. And in 2016, everything just fell apart. I was working a mission in the Middle East related to the global war on terror, and it involved child soldiers, and that just did it for me. That was the last straw. I sunk into a really deep depression. I contemplated suicide several times in 2016, because I realized that I was making the world worse, not better, and I do not agree with the US government's actions, especially in that region. And really, I don't think that the US military should be anything close to the size that it is or have the power that it does, not to mention all of the internal problems in the military with the toxic masculinity, the misogyny, the sexual assault, which I experienced in 2015 and hadn't yet let myself emotionally deal with. So I knew that I had to get out of the Navy before it destroyed me. So I petitioned the Department of the Navy to release me from my contract early as a conscientious objector. That process took an entire year, which during which time I was relieved of my assigned duties and instead worked as a career counselor, which was ironic that I had to convince other sailors to stay in the Navy while I was desperately trying to get out. And it was right around that time that I started the paperwork to get discharged early that I happened upon soap making. I had gone to New Orleans and picked up a bar of handmade soap from a gift shop there. And it was the first thing that ever made a big difference in my skin without having like terrible side effects. I first started getting acne when I was like 10, and it just never went away, even as an adult. So that bar of soap got me researching, like, what's in all these different skincare products that I'm lathering on my face every single day in hopes that one of them will be the magic cure. And I was shocked to discover that quite a few of these common skincare ingredients are actually really bad for you. So I started making my own products using only natural, vegan, cruelty-free ingredients. And I just found the process of creating to be very therapeutic during that time period. And I ended up making like so much. I was giving it away to all my friends, and they were like, you should start an Etsy shop and sell this online. So I did. And I was doing the Saturday Farmers Market as well. And while I had no idea when I was going to be getting out of the military at that point, but I knew that it would be soon enough. Well, not soon enough. It took forever. But I knew that I needed to start figuring out where my life was going afterwards. And since I was enjoying this little side hustle, I was like, I figured I could at least try making a real business out of it, maybe. So, for basically all of 2017, I was still on active duty. I was spending my free time learning how to start a business through a lot of trial and error. There was a brief period early in that year where I met a guy, fell deeply in love for the second time, and he. He listens to this podcast, so I feel weird. Hi, David. He was a coward, and I was heartbroken. I was absolutely heartbroken, and I funneled all of my anger and frustration and disappointment into my determination to succeed, to prove everybody wrong, my parents, my exes, my high school guidance counselor, my Navy coworkers, everyone who was content with mediocrity, with everyone who made me doubt that I could ever do something with my life. And I finally got my honorable discharge on December 1st, 2017, having served my country for exactly 4 years and 7 days. My treat to myself after that exhausting year was to fly to Europe. I got to see the castle in Scotland that belonged to my ancestors for centuries. That was amazing. I took an overnight bus to Paris just to spend 8 hours walking around the city before another overnight bus back to London. And then I came back to the States just refreshed and ready to start this new chapter of my life as a free citizen and as a budding businesswoman. So I spent most of 2018 traveling all over the US in my camper van from Georgia to California, up to Idaho, back to Georgia, all while making my products and running my little business in my van for the first 8 months of the year, until business was just growing way too fast to keep doing that. So while I was in Atlanta working on the Stacey Abrams for Governor campaign, I rented a storage unit to work on my business there in the evenings. And then after the midterm elections, I packed everything up and drove to South Dakota, which I've never been here before. I just felt called here. And the day I got into town, I signed a lease on a small production studio, which also has a front room that I decided to use as a retail area for local customers to come in and shop. And since going from my 50 square foot van to the 100 square foot storage unit to this 500 square foot shop, we've been able to expand not just our own handmade line, but now also offering other eco products, most of them from female owned small businesses here in the US, because it's really important for me to support women. And I directly attribute my company's rapid growth since last summer to this manifestation course that I took in July of 2018. I'd heard of manifestation, and I consider myself quite hippie, like obviously, but even that seemed a bit too woo-woo for me. And sometimes still, like, I'll listen to a so-called manifestation coach talking about stuff, and I'll just like roll my eyes at how some people seem to use the law of attraction as an out. Like, I do believe that your mindset and your intention are so important. My life has drastically changed since I changed my mindset, but some manifestation coaches really gloss over the fact that you won't ever accomplish anything in life without hard work. You can't just sit there on your couch and imagine something and have it handed to you by the universe or God. That's never going to happen. You have to imagine it and then work for it. The manifestation course that I took was with a woman named Katie. She's been on this podcast before, one of the early episodes titled How to Manifest Your Best Life. And I highly recommend that you go listen to that next if you want more out of life than where you're at now. I got two things out of her class. Number one, I got a friend in Katie. We've never even met in real life, but she's the first person in my adult life who not just believed in me 100%, she's never doubted me for a minute, but she actually pushed me to dream even bigger. Whereas most people always tell me that I dream too big. She had me write down like these 5-year goals. And then she was like, okay, why can't you complete those in 1 year? And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I could, couldn't I? At the end of the day, one of the most important parts of my success so far was I just needed somebody to tell me that I could. I just needed somebody to tell me that I could, that I would, and why limit myself? Why not even shoot for more? The second thing that I took from that course was how to go deep within myself to analyze my own negative thoughts and limiting beliefs. There were two main beliefs that I had that were majorly affecting how I was living my life and how I was dreaming of my future life. And that was, number one, that I didn't deserve to ever be any level of rich because I'd grown up in such a low-income family, living off food stamps, lived in a trailer park. It was just ingrained in my DNA. I am poor. I'm poor. And I felt like I'd always be poor because I knew no other way of living. And because why did I even deserve to have extra money? If I want to live my life helping people as much as possible, doesn't that mean that I basically have to be poor and donate every extra cent I have to those less fortunate? I was trying to manifest financial stability. That was all I wanted. I just wanted a business that would pay for itself and cover my living expenses, nothing more. I just wanted to know that I could pay my bills. I didn't even consider at first. And then when I did, I felt so ashamed to want financial abundance. Because again, I was just so used to being poor and I didn't think that I deserved anything more than that. So I had to work past that, to work past those limiting beliefs around money and realize that it's okay to want extra money, because then not only can I pay my own bills, but I can hire a team of people and give them money to pay their bills. I can donate to charity. I can afford the time off to volunteer. I can try to help people as much as possible. And I'm not a bad person. If I want to save up money to retire early or go back to Puerto Rico and live there for a couple years, or to just pay off my van loan and be debt free. It was once I came to believe that and started actually trying to manifest financial abundance that I slowly began to receive it. And I'm not debt-free yet. I'm still like 2 decades at the earliest away from retirement, but my business is now thriving. I have 2 incredible employees so far. I'm hoping to hire a third this summer. We're already outgrowing this current space, and we're considering locations 4 times as big by the end of this year. I mean, money is definitely still a stressor. When you run your own business, you don't have a steady paycheck. Like, income flow fluctuates, and I pay my 2 team members double what I pay myself, in part because, like, with my van life, I just don't have as many living expenses as they do, but also because I want everything extra to go back into the business so that we can continue growing and continue making more of an impact. But things are finally good, and things are only going to get better. And I believe that it's only been this way because I finally let go of the lifelong guilt and fear that I had surrounding money. My second limiting belief, and this has nothing to do with business, but everything to do with me personally and my parents and my long history of shitty relationships, I believed that I didn't deserve love. I didn't deserve love because I've done bad things in my life, and that makes me a bad person, and bad people just can't be loved. And that belief I very much attribute to my parents and how bad they were at ever showing their love, and the way that love was used as a manipulation tool when I was growing up. Seriously, please do not have children if you're not your best self yet, because the way you raise your kids can really fuck them up. And for everyone else out there who's dealt with toxic family, with cutting toxic family members out of your life and all the social and cultural stigma attached to that, I feel you. You are not alone. It's hard, but it's worth it. You have one life to live. It's your life, no one else's. Do not live your life trying to make people happy who don't care about your own happiness. I stayed in relationships, platonic and romantic, for much longer than I should have, ignoring multiple warning signs and compromising my own health and happiness because I just wanted to be loved. I needed somebody to love me because I didn't know how to love myself yet. And it seemed easier to deal with those toxic relationships than to finally just deal with my own shit. The breakthroughs that I've had in the last year of choosing to be single and to work on myself, even when it's hard, even when it brings up a flood of tears and emotions, it has drastically changed me for the better. I've finally confronted the worst parts of myself, and I've either improved them or just accepted them as they are and come to love myself as a whole. We're all flawed. No one is perfect. No one. But you wake up each morning and you choose how you're going to live your life. You choose how you're going to react. You choose how you're going to hold on to things. You choose how you're going to treat other people, and you choose if you're happy or not. I finally feel for the first time in my life that I am the best version of myself possible, but I know that I always have to keep improving because that's the meaning of life, after all, is to grow until you die. So that about sums up my background and how I got to where I am today, or at least the parts that I want to share with you, honestly. So I am a big believer in dreaming big. I don't think that any dream is too big. My motto for this chapter of my life is dreams don't work unless you do. What helps me is to write out my big life goals and then break them down into yearly goals, monthly goals, weekly steps, and daily steps. Of my 2019 goals, I've already crossed off hiring a full-time employee to take over the day-to-day operations of my company, getting our products in 50 stores around the US, doing a live TV interview, and giving a speech in front of at least 100 people. The other things I'm going to accomplish this year include writing and publishing my first book titled Starting a Zero Waste Business, Everything I Wish I'd Known. Working with a food waste prevention organization to do a 30-day challenge of dumpster rescued food only, spending at least a month in France brushing up on my French, moving Bestowed Essentials to a larger location in Rapid City, and getting 200,000 podcast downloads. And by the way, if you're interested in working with me on any of these projects, or if you have something else in mind, please do get in touch. My final piece of advice for you is to practice positive affirmations every single day. Tell yourself out loud, I'm fucking awesome. I'm slaying my goals. I'm cute as fuck. And whatever else you need to feel confident and live your best life. I just watched the new Knock Down the House documentary on Netflix, which, oh my God, you totally should too. And I loved Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's affirmations that she said to herself as she prepared for her first debate. She said, I can do this. I am experienced enough to do this. I am knowledgeable enough to do this. I am prepared enough to do this. I am mature enough to do this. I am brave enough to do this. I fucking love her. She inspires me so much. But anyway, I will be back in your ears on Wednesday with Kate of Compost Queens talking about how to start a compost pickup business. And if you're interested in starting your own eco-conscious business, stay tuned for the upcoming release of my book. If you've listened this far, thank you. I hope you got something out of this and out of every podcast episode that I do. Now, I want you to do something today that makes you happy or brings you one step closer to your goals. And remember, you got this.